All right, welcome to class today. Let's just start by briefly reviewing where we sit. We have very few topics left. We're going to talk about more about logs and log proofs today. We'll have a lab and in-class quiz on that on Friday. We'll talk about state machines, which will be used in some later classes, but will not appear in their own in-class quiz. And then we will have the final makeup quiz and the final quiz. After that, and that is all we have. I should comment that last time I checked, we still had 20-ish lab in-class quiz 10s that we hadn't finished grading. That proved to be more complicated to grade than we expected. So we've had after we met together to do about half of them, the TAs have been working on some on their own. So your grade. Most of you should see grades up for that. A few of you haven't. They haven't been incorporated into your overall class performance so far. Also, there's been a little bit of conversation over on Piazza about how I have changed to some degree the flavor of the in-class quizzes as we've moved online because I have to adjust to them being open book. And there we have had some preliminary conversations with the TAs about sort of what that means about overall grades and so forth. So far, we haven't seen a need to change those boundaries. Potentially, we'll do another review once we have that in-class quiz graded and in, possibly next one as well. So yeah, there's that. Before I dive back into logarithms, any thoughts, comments, questions, other things for me? Okay. Last class, is there a chance that the percent for mastery changed? So it hasn't changed in the past week and a bit. We talked about its last change when I had sort of reviewed how people were doing. There is a potential that I will make those categories broader if it turns out I overcompensated for the open book nature of the quizzes. I don't yet have evidence that I have. I certainly won't make it harder. On what categories last quiz impact? There had several logic questions and a few numbers, is that right? Numbers questions, yes. Structures, I don't remember. What was the last quiz? I just graded a whole bunch of these. I can find out. Let's show the past. I think we even had that on the title of the quiz, but it was logic, so it would definitely be logic. And functions, right, so functions count in the structures category. Okay. Feel free to ask other questions. I'm going to go ahead and proceed in case there's just sort of a delay in them getting them. We had talked last time about proving that log base 2 of 3 is not an element of the rationals. And we had started talking about what we're going to need to do for this. And for any time we're trying to prove something isn't the member of a large set, we're generally going to want to use a bi-contradiction strategy. Okay, bi-contradiction is going to allow us to assume this broad statement and then show that that causes a contradiction, which for these broad statements, like it doesn't belong, will generally be easier than trying to do some other form of proof here, okay? And so that means we're going to assume that log base 2 of 3 is an element of the rationals, okay? And to assume that log base 2 of 3 is an element of the rationals, that is to say there exists some A and B such that A over B is equal to log base 2 of 3. And we can make some more claims about A and B. A minimal, we can say they're both integers. Okay, but we can actually say the denominator is positive if we want. And we can also argue by the reducible character of fractions, we could say they are coprime. Whether we will need all of these pieces for any given proof will vary, but when we're trying to say something is or isn't irrational, these are all things we're allowed to assume because every rational number can be represented by a ratio of two coprime integers where the bottom one is positive. So we're going to assume this existence. This is what we're assuming. And then what we need to do is show a contradiction. Often when we're trying to do a contradiction, we're just going to try to use the rules of algebra as we understand them to try to end up with some different form that'll be easier to argue about. So let's just try this in column format. We know that the log base 2 of 3 is equal to a over b. And I want to try to simplify this. Well, one thing I could do to simplify this is multiply both sides by b. That would give me log base 2 of 3. Cancel out that fraction. I now have a constant time a log. That we have a log rule for. So I can just apply that log rule. Now both sides have only a single term, no multiplications. I just have an a on one side and a log on the other. But the log, going to be a little awkward. Fortunately, I remember that the log is the inverse of the exponent. So let's try undoing it. We'll take 2 to the a equals 2 to the log base 2 of 3 to the b. And because we defined the log to be the inverse of the exponent, we know that is just going to equal 3b, right? These two pieces are going to cancel out, and we just end up with 3 to the b. So we now have 2 to the a equals 3 to the b, where a and b are both integers. And this is as far as our algebra is going to get us. This is as simple as we can get it with our algebra. But then we can say, by the fundamental theorem of algebra, of arithmetic, rather. Remember, a fundamental theorem of arithmetic says that if two numbers are equal, they are the same number, and therefore they must have the same prime factors. So we must have the same prime factors. Now, there actually is a way that 2 to the a and 3 to the b could have the same prime factors, and that way is if a and b are both zero. Then they both have no prime factors. But we know that b isn't zero. And because b is not equal to zero, then we have a contradiction. So because b is not equal to zero, 3 must be a factor of 2 to the a. Because we know it's a factor of 3 to the b, b is at least 1. Therefore, it has to be a factor of 2 to the a, which it's not. I should actually also comment because it's greater than 0. We know this is an integer, right? There is always the chance that a was negative, and we could have shown that it wasn't negative because this is a positive number, and we could have ruled that out. But if this was negative, then I don't have any prime factors either. Either way, I don't have a factor of 3, okay? So I can come here, and this has caused my contradiction. And then I would conclude my proof by contradiction by saying, as we always do, because assuming that log base 2 of 3 was an element of the rational numbers, because that led to a contradiction, it must be that it is not a member. And thus, my proof is done. So the basic structure of our proof, we've seen this before as we were proving that various numbers weren't integers or weren't rationals as we were dealing with our earlier fundamental theorems. The log is here because it's just another way of dealing with this same idea. And it gives us an opportunity to sort of practice some of our log identities. Note here, we use this power rule. We showed that some multiplication in the front become a power here. Here, we used this inverse to get that handled. We didn't use all of the identities we had, but we did use a few of these identities. Why is 3 a factor of 2? Okay, so why do I know that 3 must be a factor of 2 to the 2 to the a? Well, I know that these two numbers are equal, right? So I have 2 to the a equals 3 to the b. And so that, let's just arbitrarily call that number x, whatever that number is. They're equal, so they're equal to the same thing. I know that 3 divides x. because of that thing. And therefore, it must also be the case that 3 divides 2 to the a, because that's what x is, another definition of x. But, of course, I can't, hence the contradiction. Other questions? Okay. So here is an example of using these pieces. Let's do a very similar looking proof that's going to use these pieces in a slightly more complicated way. It's going to be the same looking thing. We're going to prove that the log base 8 of, let's do the log base 8 of 9 is not an element of the rationals. And at first blush, this is going to look very much the same. I've just picked 2 different numbers. How could this be different? But we're going to see, because these themselves are not prime, we're going to have an extra little step there. And this is also going to give us another chance to go through and use our identities. So we're going to assume that it is the case that log base 8 of 9 is an element of the rationals. That is to say that a over b is equal to log base 8 of 9. With the caveat that a is an integer. Zoom, why are you doing weird things with my mouse? Okay, and this one is going to be a positive integer, and they are coprime. Great, and so we're going to do very much like we did before. We have our log base 8 of 9 is equal to a over b. You know what? A's and 9's are going to end up looking similar to each other. Let me pick different letters here just so that they're going to look more similar. Let's call this x and b. How about that? It's going to be x over b instead. So I have log base 8 of 9 is x over b. And so again, I can work with this. Let's actually do this in a slightly different way. Let's try to remove this one first so we can see a different order. 8 to the log base 8 of 9 is equal to 8 to the x over b. Okay, this side cancels out. And I'm only doing it a different way just to show that we can still get the same way, whatever order we decide to do our steps, whether we're trying to remove the fraction or the log first. So I have, this just turns into 9. This other side, 8 to the x over b, well, that's going to be the bth root of 8 to the x, because that's the definition of fractions up there. And so then if I take the bth power of both sides, I'm going to end up with 9 to the b equals 8 to the x. Okay. And so now, I can't use the fundamental theorem of algebra directly. I'm going to need an extra little step. And to understand the extra little step, there's a few different ways we could do it. Note that 9 is 3 squared. 3 squared to the b. And 8 is 2 cubed to the b. Okay? And so then I could say, this is 3 to the 2b, and that is 2 to the 3. Oh, that shouldn't be b, that should be x. 3x. And now I'm in a position, again, to say that 2 divides into one of them and not into the other, because I have my prime factors. And so the rest of my proof is going to look similar. It's a little bit extra complication because I have these extra pieces in what's going on. I've got a few extra terms. There's one extra step here. But it gives me another opportunity to show how my log identities and power identities can all sort of mix together. And to point out that you may need to remember some of these odd things you learned in algebra class and had thought you didn't need again as you're going along. And so then this will go like the last proof from here on out. Questions? Does fundamental theorem arithmetic apply for all integers? It absolutely does. They have unique prime factorization. Remember, it's unique prime factorization. It's not a unique factorization. So knowing what the prime factors are is important for me to appeal to the fundamental theorem of arithmetic. As I'm going along. Why is x an integer and b a positive integer? Right, so if I think about all rational numbers, we can define the rationals. There's different ways of defining the rationals, but one definition is it's the set of all x over y such that, and we could say x is an integer and y is an integer. Okay, but if we do this definition, we've got a problem. We've got a problem in particular that defines something divided by zero to be included. So we really want to exclude zero. So we really want to take this set here, is that minus the set that contains zero, using that set minus backward slash notation. So y can be anything other than zero, because division by zero isn't defined. And so this will get us part of the way, but we can do more. Because negative divided by negative is positive, and positive divided by positive is also positive, I don't ever need the case where they're both negative. If they are both negative, I could switch them to both being positive. So I can pick either one and arbitrarily declare that it is positive. And because I'm already limiting y, it is more common to make the denominator positive. So this is equivalent, this is the same set as the set of x over y, where x is an integer and y is a positive integer. It's also the same set as x over y, where x is a natural number, could be zero, but can't be negative. So we can make x be a natural number. And y, therefore, could be any number, any integer that isn't zero. And these are all three different definitions of the same set. This one, cleanest and simplest, most commonly used. Other questions? All right, let's do one more that is still the same basic structure, but is going to add in yet another extra little complication. It is going to show us a little bit more of what's going on here, and then we'll jump to some other things we can do with logs. So let's show that the log base 8 of 4 is not a rational number. Nah. This one's more awkward because they have the same prime factors. So arguments that say that 2 isn't a factor of the thing aren't going to get us anywhere when we get there. But let's go ahead and run through the process. Let's say we have A over B is an element of the rational numbers, and A over B is equal to the log base 8 of 4. Okay, and so we'll run through our process. Let's remove the fraction first again. This is equal to b log base 8 of 4. We can move that up to the top. So this is equal to a is equal to log base 8 of 4 to the b. We can then cancel out that log by taking 8 to both sides to get 4 to the 8 to the a is equal to 4 to the b. And now we're in an awkward position. We're in an awkward position because if we are going to go ahead and try to finish this off, let's go ahead and write this out in the full version. Let's factor that out. So that's 3a, and that's 2 to the 2b. We have the same prime factors. I can't argue that two is a factor of one side and not a factor of the other. That doesn't work. I can't argue that four is a factor of one side and not of the other in an obvious way, because who knows what A is? A could be, for example, two, and then four would be a factor of both sides, right? So I'm in this awkward position. If I want to try to argue that this doesn't end up as a rational number, the straightforward approaches wouldn't work, okay? But I can make some claims about what's going on here, right? For these to be the case, 3a has to equal 2b. I have the same base on both sides, which means these must also be the same. 3a equals 2b. All right, I know both of these are integers. And I also know both of these are going to be co-prime because I made them as a rational number. Is there a solution that will work for this? And it turns out, yes, there is. What if A was 2 and B was 3? It looks like maybe this doesn't work. Okay? Remember, when we have a claim, we should always verify if the claim is true. And so it looks here like I have worked through this, and I say if A is 2 and B is 3, we have a solution. So let's actually try to find out. Let me open up a program that will allow me to rapidly find logs. And let's find the log of 4 with base 8. And ta-da, it's 2/3. So this is a false theorem, because the log base 8 of 4 is equal to 2/3. Okay, I bring this up because I want to point out that, again, when you have a claim, you should verify that it is true. It is not arbitrarily the claim that if you have the log with different bases, they are not rational. Even if they aren't integer, they might still be rational. And if you go through all of the steps and apply the rules appropriately, you should be able to derive the answer. You should be able to figure out what's going on. We assumed that it was equal to some rational number, and then actually derived what that rational number was by going through this math. We verified it because I was interested in verifying it, and I tried it out to make sure it looked like I was getting there. But I've also been able to, I could actually use this as a proof. Right? So let's try this different proof. Let's try to take the theorem that the log base 8 of 4 is equal to 2/3. And let's see what this proof will look like. Okay? So I can just run through these same steps. I'm essentially doing the same thing, but I have actual numbers now. And so now if I multiply both sides by 3, this is saying the 3 of the log base 8 of 4 is equal to 2. Right? These are equivalent statements. That statement is equivalent to saying that the log base 8 of 4 to the 3rd is equal to 2. That is equivalent to saying the log base 8 of 2 to the 6th is equal to 2, because this is 2 squared. Multiply those factors. That is equivalent to saying that the log base 8 of 8 squared is 2. And because logs are inverses, that's just the same as saying 2 is equal to 2. Okay? So we can use, there's different ways we could have done it. We could have done exactly the same steps and then just at the end plugged in numbers and shown we got 6 equals 6. That also would have worked. We can use our rules in whatever order we want. Remembering that, and sort of maybe let's just add in a perhaps valuable intermediate step. 4 to the 3rd is equal to 2 squared to the 3rd is equal to 2 to the 2 times 3. Is equal to 2 to the 6th, right? That was sort of our intermediate step between those. And we did a similar intermediate step between these. I had 2 to the 6th is equal to 2 to the 3 times 2 is equal to 2 to the 3 squared is equal to 8 squared. And that was sort of my intermediate steps there. And certainly writing all of those out would have been correct. Couldn't we have just checked that the proof was false from the start? Sure. And maybe some of you looked at this and said, oh, I think that proof is false. Or you could have just tried plugging into a calculator and hope you recognize the fraction. That would have been a fine thing to do. I'm trying to point out here that if you do your algebra, your proof will end up with something that you can't keep going. Okay? A common thing we see people do when they're starting to write proofs is they will go through their proof steps, and then they'll end up with something where it doesn't work, and they'll think, oh, I must have made a mistake, and just move forward. If you didn't make a mistake, then this may actually be telling you something, right? It is false to say these can't be equal, because they can. But you're certainly encouraged. You're way back in our second class, we were talking the habits of highly mathematical people, right? You look for examples and counterexamples. Try to see if the thing you're trying to look at is true. And that can save you a lot of this work along the way. I should comment, though, that a failed proof is not the same thing as a proof of falseness. Okay? So the fact I failed to prove, if I end up here, say, proof does not work. It does not therefore follow. It is not the case. Let me do it this way. It does not imply that the theorem is false. If you want to prove the theorem is false, you need to create a proof that the theorem is false. It is not enough to say one proof has failed to prove it. And so just saying, I plugged it into a calculator and it looks like it's 2/3 isn't a proof. We then need to go and show that 2/3 is the number in question. Other questions, thoughts, comments about these examples? All right. Often, in all kinds of mathematical exercises that we're going to do, you're going to talk about simplifying expressions. And this is a somewhat contextual meaning, as we are dealing with basic predicate and propositional logic, particularly propositional logic, we use this simplify to refer to particular proof rules that reduce the number of symbols or operators in our expression. That isn't always what we mean as we're going along. Often when we're dealing with logs, our simplification is going to make the inside of the log simple. So we want to make the thing inside the log a simpler expression. This is not always what we mean, but usually we're talking about sort of making sure we have fewer logs and what they have inside of them is less complicated. So if I were to have, for example, we generally want to make them have the same base. Tends to be something we want when we're simplifying our logs. Trying to reduce the amount of work the log needs to do. So if I had 3 log base 2 of 7 plus 4 of log base 3 of 8/3. Okay? And I wanted to simplify this expression. So let's just do this as an example. There's several things I can see just from the start I probably want to deal with. And sorry, that is a horrible looking 8. Let me make a cleaner 8. Just glancing at this and understanding I want to simplify, I've got a ratio here inside the log. I probably don't want a ratio inside the log to try to make this simple. I also have different bases. Okay, so those are not equal. This has an operator that I probably don't want. And in addition, I still have the basic rules of simplifying I can. So I have a multiplication here and a multiplication here and a plus there. And if I can reduce the number of those operators, I should. And so let's just sort of work through how we might go about simplifying this expression. I would generally suggest you start with seeing what you can do about the operators. Okay, so I have here this operator inside this log, and so let's turn that log into log base 3 of 8 minus log base 3 of 3. Using our principle that a division inside a log becomes a subtraction outside the log. One of the rules, one of the log identities we have dealt with. This is just the number 1. Anything log base something of itself is the number 1, because if you take 3 to the 1th power, you get 1. So I have this, this is the inverse function, it just goes away, okay? And so that has simplified the contents of my log, removed one log, but now I still have two logs in different bases. I have a log base 2 and a log base 3. And I generally want to avoid having logs at different bases. So I want to change these into the same base. I can do that with either one. I can change the log base 2 or the log base 3 into the other base, or I could pick a new third base they both get changed into. It doesn't greatly matter which one I do. Let's just arbitrarily say, let's say we've already worked on this side, let's work on this side. Let's change that into an expression of log base 3. So I've still got the 4 times, incidentally, here. I should keep track of that. Okay, so I've got the 3 times. And then the change of base formulas, if I want to make my new log, I make the new base with the old argument divided by the new base with the old base. And so I end up with this ratio of logs. Now I have only log base 3 terms in my equation. No other log bases are around. And now that I've sort of simplified the contents of these and reduced them all to the same base, what we're going to want to do is see what other arithmetic we can do. So we're going to multiply this through. We have some questions about numerators. Sorry. Should numerator be log 2? Right. No. So yeah, change of base formula uses the same base on the numerator and the denominator, both the new base, the old argument, and the old base. And as a reminder, since we only learned this recently for many of you, remember, we have this summary of the things you should know. So this is this last of the 4 bullet points. Is the log base b of x is log base a of x over the log base a of b. Various things, various little mnemonics to remember this, right? We're going to use the same base top and bottom. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten rid of our old base. We need to have nothing with our old base. And then the position is the same as the visual position because of subscripts. So the subscript was lower and it goes on the bottom. The other thing was higher and it goes on the top. That may or may not be useful to you in helping you remember this. All right. So now I can try multiplying through. So I can say this is going to be the same thing as 3 log base 3 of 7 divided by the log base 3 of 2 plus 4 times the log base 3 of 8 minus 4. I could now, if I wanted, try to combine my fraction into a single fraction, depending on whether I like improper fractions or not. But I'm not going to get much farther here. Now, many of you will probably look at this and say, this is not simpler than that. I have more things going on. And I absolutely do. This is a simpler expression in the traditional sense of fewer operators than this other expression. And perhaps what we really mean when we say simplifying logs is that we're expanding them. The same way we sort of multiply out a factored polynomial into a power form polynomial, it'll end up being longer, but it's a form that we know how to deal with. And a form that uses the same base in all of the logs and has simple values inside is going to make our lives a little bit easier. Let me go ahead and try making this a single fraction to point out a common error in some of our log identities. So if I wanted to make this a common fraction, I would say, all right, I've got log base 3 of 2 in the denominator here. And then in the numerator, I've got 3 log base 3 of 7. And then I have 4 log base 3 of 2 log base 3 of 8. And then I have minus 4 log base 3 of 2. Okay. We have a product rule. It says multiplications turn into additions when they deal with logs. But it is wrong to say, this is the wrong thing to do. Let's write it in a different color. It's wrong to turn this into 2 plus 8. Not okay. A multiplication, the more complicated operation inside a log turns into the less complicated outside. So a division turns into a subtraction. A power, wherever we were with powers, a power turns into a multiplication outside, okay? So things outside the log are simpler than things inside the log. And so if I have the complicated thing on the outside, I have a multiplication, I can't turn it into the simpler thing inside. I could use my powers turn into exponent rule, okay? Because the, remember, multiplication turns into exponents. So it is okay to instead use the other direction of the rule. I could say that I have the log base 3 of 8 to the log base 3 of 2. This would be an okay substitution to do, and I could do it in the other direction as well. And sort of see if I think this can go someplace. And actually, I could make this go someplace by changing this basis again to be base 8 and keeping going. I'm not going to do that right now. But I did want to point out that this direction, you can't go that direction. And many of you, particularly when you're first starting out, will forget that, right? So just as a reminder, a log of a multiplication becomes a sum of logs. But a log multiplied by a log becomes a log of something to a log, not the other way around. So some things to keep in mind. That's also why we couldn't take this division and turn it into subtraction. It isn't a subtraction. It just doesn't act like a subtraction internally. Whew. Okay. Thoughts, comments, questions about this? Let's look a little at our practice. So, we'll run through some of these examples in class on Friday. We may potentially do some of these or some related ones the last 10 minutes of class today as well. But let me just sort of talk about what we're expecting you to be able to do. Okay. Exponents and logs are somewhat okay. I have a question about where we just were. All right, let me come back to this question. Could you add 2 to the log 8 to log 7? Could you add 2 to the log 8 to log 7? I guess I don't know what you're asking. Where am I? 2 to the log 8 to log 7. I don't understand. Combine the first two expressions in the numerator. Combine this expression and this expression. I don't have a 2 to the log 8 anywhere here. But I could, so I have a sum, and can I turn the sum into a multiplication? I can, if it's a sum of two logs. So if I wanted to turn this into a multiplication, I would have to make sure I ended up in just the state of the sum of two logs, not the sum of two products of logs. So if I did all of the work to do that, there's several ways to do that. But if I took, for example, and I turn this into log base 3 of 7 to the third, and I turn this into the log base 3 of 2 to the 4 log base 3 of 8, then I could combine these. So then I could have it be the log base 3 of 7 to the third plus 2 to the 4 log base 3 of 8. And that is the combination I can do with summing and longs. If I had exactly the same argument, if I had 7 on both sides, then I could just do ordinary algebra to combine terms. But if I don't, I need to get them to be just logs before I can use the sum rule. Other questions? Oh, correct, sorry. Multiplication on the inside. I did that wrong. Thank you for that clarification. Yep. I guess just because it's probably worth seeing, let's take this term and see what we can do with it. 2 to the 4 log base 3 of 8. What can I do with that term? We know that if I add 2 to the log base 2 of something, then I could get rid of the log and my life would be simpler. I don't have 2 to the log base 2 of something. I have 2 to the log base 3, but I can change basis. Okay, so let's sort of work through what that might look like. First, let's simplify this down. This is going to be the same thing as 2 to the log base 3 of 8 to the fourth power, which is the same thing as is equal to 2 to the log base 3 of 2 to the 12th power, if you're curious. Doesn't really matter which one we do. And we want to try to get rid of that log, then we're going to need to make it into a log base 2. So we're going to end up with this being raised to a fraction. Remember, a change of basis formula. We have the new base of the old base in the denominator and the new base of the old argument in the numerator. Okay. So I have this, where can I go with this? Sort of a limited amount of space I can deal with, but one of the things I could do is I could say this is the log base 2 of 3 root of 2 to the log base 2 of 2 to the 12th. 2 to the log base 2 of 2 to the 12th is just 12. This is just 2 to the 12th. So this is going to be the log base 2 of 3 root of 2 to the 12th, which I can then turn back into. I can turn this back into a fractional exponent. And so I could then say this is 2 to the 12th divided by the log base 2 of 3. Did that help me? Unclear that it did. In fact, I haven't really gone very far, right? This original thing here, if I had sort of done the power rule, I could have said this was 12 times the log base 3 of 2, and swapping the base and the number is the same thing as inverting in a multiplicative sense. So I've really just shown another way of writing the same thing. So I certainly can do the change of basis, because in an exponent that results in a fraction, I haven't really saved myself a lot of work. And because this is in a denominator, I don't have the straightforward way of dealing with it that I might otherwise hope. So how far would you have to go? Right, that's a good point. Let me go way back here, okay? When I say simplify, do these two steps. Okay, make the inside of the log simple, no operators in there, change things into the same base, And then if you have like multiple constants or multiple things with the same factor, add them, multiply them together, ordinary algebra sort of simplification, and we'll consider it good. Okay, so I would have considered this to have been done. And if you had wanted to keep going, you could have kept going. But you'll see once you get to this point, most other activities you do won't actually make it further simplify. You mentioned it could go on as long as you wanted. At some point, you could sort of explore all of the operations you could do and realize none of them were making the thing shorter. And so this will eventually terminate. There is sort of a most simple form that can be solved. Getting there can be a little bit tricky. So we're just going to ask for these steps. All right. Some things I believe you should be able to do. You should be able to turn exponents into things without exponents, i.e. into logs. How would you go about this? You take the log of both sides so that you could have the power rule, or you just take the definition of a log, could also do that. You should be able to take ratios of logs of the same base, okay? And we have some examples of how you might be able to simplify these into other forms. We could take something that has operators inside and move them outside. You could take multiplications of logs and turn them into simpler forms. And there are, of course, keys of all of these. We'll get some times to sort of run through all of these as we're going along. It just occurs to me as I'm looking at this, this is a quiz we gave last semester, and I may have adjusted my definition of simplification between the two semesters. That would be awkward if I did. I will make sure I clarify that if that is indeed the case. So we have these steps we expect you to be able to do to sort of manipulate them based on requirements we give, new bases we want to have, do or do not use log or exponent functions, and so forth. And these are just sort of applying the identity rules to reach some goal. We also have a couple of proofs. One of these we actually just did. We did the log base 2 of 3 is irrational. And these ones we gave you sort of proof outlines. We have this more complicated looking one that you're welcome to sort of work through. And then we also have a key here that we can run over in class next time. And I have a fair amount of questions that we didn't ever release keys of. So how to simplify various things, how to complete fill in blanks and some proofs and so forth you can deal with. So we have these different techniques. And as I'm looking at this, it's becoming very clear to me that I had the opposite definition for simplify last semester. That is awkward. I will try to change the terminology in the practice tech quiz to match what I just talked about in class, rather than redoing all of this. So these are logs. Again, these aren't really discrete. They're a continuous math topic. They're something that will be used in a great deal of algorithm analysis. And that is where we sit. We have maybe a minute, which might be enough time. If somebody has a question, I'm happy to field a question. Will this go under the numbers grade? It will, although there will also be proofs, which will go under the proof grade. How do you tell which categories are on the quiz? So this will show the categories on the quiz. Yeah, that's a reasonable thing to make sure we've reviewed. So if I go to the course website and I go to the progress page, and then I go down under my cumulative performance to view my full grade computation, I can then say, what were my logic points? And you can see I have gotten no credit on most assignments, but list all of the individual items. For online quizzes, these are questions. For in-class quizzes, the second number is a rubric item. So when you go to view your grade, it'll have individual rubric items. And there are many of our quizzes that had some items going in some buckets and some in others. And so this is how you find out where things are going. The last quiz had some logic, which would go under logic, and had some functions, which would go under structures. Any other questions in our last 20 seconds? All right. I encourage you to take an advanced look at the quiz. I'll try to clarify that language about simplification and email out when I have done so. And then I will see you all on Friday.